No lie, this podcast might have been more entertaining if I was able to record it this morning around 9 o'clock. Maybe you saw my Facebook post. Hi, it's Eric Chase. It's actually 20 minutes to 5 right now. Thanks for finding the podcast, whether it be Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Podbean for Android users, or Q1055.com. The smart thing to do is you probably have, if you're listening to this, especially on Monday night, is you've subscribed, so you'll get the notifications. Thanks for listening to these podcasts. Thanks for also listening to the show on Q105 each and every Monday through Friday from 7 to midnight with the features that we do, like the Streaming 7 at 727. We do New or Nah. We let Q Better in Toledo, a new song. We play it for 3 nights, give you a chance to hear it, and then we move on to another one. Maybe it makes the playlist. Maybe it doesn't. That's it. 9:15, and then at 10:15, your 2K throwback of the night. I can go all the way back to 2000 and pick a song. Sometimes it's random. Sometimes I got to Google something. And then other times, like today, I'm going to play a 2K throwback that I think I played just a couple of weeks ago. Ariana Grande and Mac Miller, The Way, for obvious reasons, I hope. And a couple of Mac Miller thoughts, if not questions, over the course of this podcast. Again, good to have you here. It's Eric Chase. Thanks for listening. I am always, it's kind of like somebody pointed out on my Facebook post today, and I forget her name, Sarah. Did you see the Avengers, the first one, where at long last, Dr. Banner shows up, and they wanted to know, you know, what's the secret? Secret is, I'm always angry. And I think I'm like that. It's just because I'm so high-strung. The anxiety's under control, but I'm still high-strung and high-functioning and always going. Something's always got to keep me busy. Got to be watching something. Got to be doing two things at once, talking fast. But I'm always like that. And for the most part, I can keep it under wraps. But when things start to pile up and go sideways, especially medical things, that's when I begin to lose control. And as I will chastise someone in just a bit during this podcast for getting too emotional, the stakes for her are a lot higher than me spouting off a couple of paragraphs and a little tirade on Facebook. But I should take my own advice. I think I mentioned this on the air or on a previous podcast. Something along the lines of when I was younger, my dad said, don't make any decisions when you're having sex or angry. Because when you're emotional, you make, and I take it a step further, when you're emotional, you make bad decisions. So try not to make any really important ones when you're emotional, one way or the other, in elation or sheer rage. What can we start with? Do I want to start with the? Let me start with why I'm a bit upset. This stomach thing, you've followed it, and I don't want to make all this content be about my health. I am long over the hypochondria that I had. Again, it goes back to the Cymbalta, an unintended positive side effect. I got on Cymbalta for, and I tell this when I go out and give some talks. I got on Cymbalta for a sec. I hoped it was supposed to help people with like pain and arthritis, which I had soft tissue issues. So a friend of mine, Dr. Saparsky over at UT, said, try Cymbalta instead of Wellbutrin. Maybe it'll help with the strains and pains. It didn't, but it did take away the anxiety that I didn't even know I was dealing with while I was still taking Wellbutrin for depression. So Cymbalta was a bullet that hit two things, depression and anxiety. And I used to go to the doctor a lot, way too much. Sorry for making your insurance skyrocket. I was that person, but I'm not anymore. So this has all been legitimate. Back in February, I thought it was the stomach bug everybody had. Several months later, I don't know even when it was. Maybe in the summertime, went to go see my doctor. I was like, it's not a stomach bug. So I thought it was just, you're getting older, which I'd be totally okay with. His eloquent, intellectual way of posing you're getting older is, you know, when the stomach can't break down certain sugars anymore, and then you get an upset stomach. So I did the low FODMAP thing. No real help. Then last Wednesday, and I'm... Last Wednesday night, I have some scotch and 2 beers with dinner. over the course of the night. Nothing excessive to drink, nothing excessive to eat. And oftentimes, as over the course of this, when I had drank a lot, the next day would be shot. The following day would be okay, I'd be up and going. This wasn't the case for this time. Thursday, I was in like, I was writhing in pain. You know, they ask for the pain scale. I was on like a 6 or a 7, probably closer to a 7. I was in so much discomfort that I couldn't even sleep, which usually with this, I could sleep it off. To explain the kind of pain, I guess it's kind of like a period. Cramps, discomfort, a little bit of nausea, a little bit of reflux, and all those things, they weren't like pinning the pain needle, but they were all like 4s or 5s, which made this thing like a 7 in pain. Okay, whatever. It's one of those days. Just stop drinking, period. And any other garbage like salsa and super spicy stuff. The obvious things that would bother my stomach. Friday comes around and I can't quite get going. It's still like a 3 or a 4 on the pain scale. I'm like, fuck this. Let me message the doctor and see what he suggests. And by the way, I've been awaiting to go to a gastro clinic to get something, but that's in November. I go see him. And then we look at this from another way. Maybe it's an ulcer, and maybe it is. Do you know how hard it is to poop when you actually have to poop for a test? Wow, that is difficult. I was wondering if the weekend was going to go by, and I'm like, I'm on the clock here. I got to get them their poop Monday morning. Blood work as well. But thankfully, last night, 7 o'clock, I was able to come through and talk about awkward. Like, I pick up dog poop all the time. To have to pick up your own poop, a little awkward. But I'm kind of happy. Like, I hope this is what it is. Like, God forbid it's something worse. And it's kind of a misnomer that you get ulcers from crappy eating and stress. It's a bacteria, H. pylori or pylori. And then the stress and the bad eating can magnify it because it rips a hole in the stomach lining. Think about a cut that you have on your hand. It's the same thing. If you don't keep it clean, it's going to get worse and worse and worse. That's essentially stressing and eating spicy food and junk and drinking junk like alcohol and caffeine. For the last 4 days, I have not had any coffee. And I'm thankful, one, that I feel confident that we've pinged this thing as an ulcer and we're going to deal with it. And I'll be back to reckless drinking and caffeine before you know it. No, I won't be. But I'm thankful that one, we think we know what it is. And two, when you get off caffeine, I've had this before, just for like a day. Like when I had to not drink anything for whatever reason. The sleep test I had to take, they said, don't drink any coffee. I was like, shouldn't I do exactly what I do? Never mind. I haven't had the caffeine headaches, the withdrawal headaches, which I know a lot of people get. So I hope that's wood because I just knocked on it. So for 4 days, I've had no caffeine. And Saturday, I was in kind of a foul mood. I did not do the best that I possibly could. When I went out to the Recovery is Beautiful event, I apologized to Neil from the Warnet Center. I was like, I am sorry that you did not have my full enthusiasm today, but I was, one, underdressed, I was cold, and this ulcer thing and lack of caffeine has me very upset. But right now, I'm okay. This has been 4 days without caffeine, but I had to let the anger bubble up this morning on Facebook. And again, I'm going to get to her saying, keep it cool, and we don't have this issue, but I've spouted off on Facebook. So I see the hypocrisy there. But again, the stakes are different. Like, with me, that rage and that seething is always bubbling under, and I think I do a good job of keeping it from coming out. I lost my temper a couple of times, like when I was trying to paint on Saturday. By the way, one of the reasons I'm much more calm now than I was 8 hours ago is painting. And much respect to you if you paint, because I took on a much taller task than I expected, literally, because the ceilings are 12 feet and getting up there and taping and then going back up and down and up and down. It was a challenge. I have some pictures to come on Facebook and Instagram. I wanted an accent wall. I figured I'm not buying a house. I'm going to stay where I am, but I'm going to add some new life to the place after living there for 6 years. And I'm glad I test drove my painting skills Saturday on a bathroom wall, which is not a big deal. And after I got most of the edging done, or cutting in the cut-ins, this was a challenge. But I guess I flipped on some classical music.
You're not supposed to tell people you don't listen to the radio station. Fuck that.
We all listen to different shit. Flipped on some classical music, and I am much less angry, ragey, and much less stressed than I was 8 hours ago. And maybe it's because that painting made me focus. So I think I do a good job of keeping my anger under wraps. I used to be a bit of a hothead when I was younger, but maybe then I just became really, really ambivalent, and I didn't care. I picked the things to care about rather than caring about everything and letting everything get underneath my skin. I remember, what did I used to say? I give so few fucks that I am owed fucks. That's for real. To that point, I need to find the quote here. I should actually hit pause. But for things, I've been racking my brain trying to come up with opinions for Mac Miller, which I'll get to more in a second. And whose side should I be on with Cardi B and Nicki Minaj and Drake and Meek Mill made up? There's with the Pittsburgh Steelers, one of their running backs is not reporting because he'd like to get more money and his teammates are going after him. And with that, I side on both sides. I'm like, he shouldn't go risk his body because he only has limited amount of time and years to make a lot of money. And the Steelers shouldn't pay him more because it's a position where players get hurt a lot. And as for the music for the ladies, I'm like, just make good music. There is a quote. Hold on 1 second. As I scroll through my pictures, because it's one of the quotes that I have. And it's not so much with me. Did I find it? Nope, that's not it. And it's not a Captain Picard quote, by the way. It is an F. Scott Fitzgerald quote, which thankfully I found. It's not so much that I don't care about things, or that I'm ambivalent or heartless. I found this quote. It must have been 10 years ago now. And I'm like, I'll take that. This is me, because I think I have an innate ability to, one, compartmentalize things, which is why I can buy Nike. I'm a Nike loyalist. It's the only athletic brand I buy, and it has nothing to do with Colin Kaepernick. My Nike devotion came from Jordan long ago. And by the way, Jordan wasn't the nicest fellow. But I can compartmentalize the fact that there are, you know, Nike runs those sweatshops, which was a story a long time ago, and it got brought up a little bit last week because people were like, how can he be a social justice person when this is happening? I mean, like I said yesterday with someone on Facebook, it's hard to find things in your life that are truly ethical purchases. She brought up a couple examples, and I'm like, their boss compared Obama to Hitler. This place does low-wage working. So, I mean, if you want truly ethical and moral purchases, I mean, good luck. I wanna buy smart, but there's a reason why most of us wind up at Walmart more often than we'd like. Because at the end of the day, we don't care about those kids who are half a world away earning 9 cents a day. We care about our finances and our family and what we have to do to make the right financial decisions for our family. Are they being treated like shit over there? Probably. But we got to take care of our family and friends first and foremost. So again, I can compartmentalize, and I can also, I think I have a great skill to put myself in someone else's shoes. Or if there are two people, let's say Cardi B and Nicki in this discussion, I can put myself in Nicki's expensive shoes, and I can put myself in Cardi's Walmart shoes? I don't know. Here's the quote from F. Scott Fitzgerald. The test of first-rate intelligence is the ability to hold two opposed ideas in mind at the same time and still retain the ability to function. One should, for example, be able to see things as hopeless and yet determined and yet... Well, I have fucked this up. Let me start over. The test of first-rate intelligence is the ability to hold two opposed ideas in mind at the same time and still retain the ability to function. One should, for example, be able to see things as hopeless and yet be determined to make them otherwise. Like, I think it's awful. And if I could really do anything about those kids over there making my very expensive shoes, I might. But really, me, I'd rather have nice shoes, and I like my shoes. And to be quite honest, with a lot of, like, the president stuff, with these tariff wars that he's dragging us into, it would be great to have things made American and have them made by workers making at least X amount of dollars per hour. But you know what that does? That makes the cost of things go up. So yes, while more people, while more of us might be more employed, prices rise. So that's how I kind of always see things in yin and yang, and things always kind of balance out. So that's that quote. F. Scott Fitzgerald, again, the test of first rate intelligence is the ability to hold two opposed ideas in mind at the same time and still retain the ability to function. For instance, more parsing of the Nike and Kaepernick thing. Everybody went after Nike and him specifically for saying, for the line, sacrificing everything. And even I was like, he didn't really sacrifice anything. And no, he cannot probably play quarterback for any team in the NFL right now. He has been gone too long. He is not in shape to be an NFL quarterback at this point in time. He has moved on to this work. The other quote, the end of that commercial is, what is it? And I'm going to paraphrase. Don't ask if your dreams are crazy. Ask if they're crazy enough. I love that line. Not enough people focused in on that. And it's funny, talking about having two opposed ideas in mind, I think, you know, I'm all for that. But then I look and go, these commercials, the takeaway from them is like unity and total equality, I think. But we will never have total equality. So while, yes, dream crazy. If you're not people making look at you sideways when you share your dreams and what you want to accomplish, you're not dreaming hard enough. They're not crazy enough. But total equality is utopian. That is like 24th century Star Trek shit. What else did I want to get to? I have starred some things on my notes app. Thank God for the notes app. All right. This was in the tirade today on Facebook. My cable was slow yesterday. I think my modem has been dying, and I canceled a Buckeye appointment for them to come out one day because it's just been tolerable. Yesterday, I had some issues because I was trying to watch football games through my PlayStation on the Sunday ticket. That wasn't working, and I started to go after Buckeye, but it was like an hour wait to get in touch with them. I'll come back to that part. It wound up working on my iPad. I don't know why it worked better on my iPad than it did on my PlayStation. If you can answer that, I'd appreciate it. But amid this, before I tried to call them, I tried to get at Buckeye's Twitter, which I've tweeted them before. I have defended them before. I am sorry that you not having the internet for 15 minutes has put you out so hard. Yes, please. You know, here's your entire bill for free. No. Take a free $5 movie. 15 minutes over the course of a month of your bill is like 78 cents. Calm down. Again, just try to prioritize things. You not being on the internet or being able to watch something for 15 minutes or even 2 hours is not the end of the world. Buckeye's Twitter seems to be missing. Like, it's gone. The PR one is still there, but I'm guessing they ditched their Twitter because they were tired of getting abuse, which takes me back to part of my tirade today. I saw someone yesterday, and my answer, they were like, hey, can you recommend a great cable company where I can get good deals? Paraphrasing again, and I was like, yes, none. Stop trying to get good deals on cable and internet. You cannot. You're going to hate your cable service provider almost regardless of anything, because whether you love AT&T or you love Buckeye or you love whoever, at some point something's going to go wrong and you're going to go apeshit crazy because you didn't have the internet for one night, which again would amount to like $7 off of your bill. That's why they give you a free movie. But we are at the mercy of them. They are, and this is, I'm surprised this hasn't happened yet, where our broadband and internet bills haven't skyrocketed, because a lot of us, myself included, have cut the cord. So that, if we're looking at a scale, that scale weighs a little bit less. But on the internet side of things, because we're streaming so much now, myself included, that scale has gone up or has gotten much, much heavier. But I'm surprised that the cost has not been commensurate with our usage. Like, what did I used to pay for the cable package I had? Cable, internet, all that stuff. Like, $160 to $180? I would buy movies. So we'll do $165. I'm kind of surprised that I've paid internet only now. And I don't know how fast it is. And I don't know if I'm getting the speed that I should be getting. That's just not a battle I want to fight. But I'm paying for it. I know. I pick and choose my battles. I'm surprised that my bill isn't like $125 now. Now, I'm not a chronic user. I don't have any gigs a month. I'm not streaming all the time. Maybe a couple hours each night, if that. But it's surprising to me that my cable bill, the internet bill, has held steady. So again, you're not going to be able to find, you know, cheap, good internet. And if you are, something's up. You're going to be in a contract for the rest of your life. The customer service will be not bad, but non-existent. And all sorts of things will go wrong. It is just a cost of doing business in 2018 to do this stuff. It's going to be expensive in the customer service. And you know what? Personally speaking, every time I've reached out to Buckeye, which is probably half a dozen times or more, has been totally fine. Totally fine. Totally helpful. Whether it was cable TV, whether it was a billing question, whether it was usually internet stuff, they have been helpful. Like I told you, when I did want to have my modem serviced, this was 4 o'clock on a Friday. They're like, yeah, we can get somebody out there Monday before noon. Like not even one business day. I didn't know if like Saturday would count or they do people on Sunday, but I was like, no business days? Yeah, that was cool. Next thing. The Mac Miller thing. I'm trying to figure this out, and I am not denigrating, discrediting, or disparaging him, his talent, or his work. I'm looking at this in a very black and white way. Now, I've been in the music business and in radio for 2 decades now. I have programmed many radio stations. I know how the back end of things work with radio and how songs go from MySpace pages to YouTube stars to like mega hits on the radio that you're like, stop playing that song. Like, I have seen that happen dozens and dozens, if not 100 times. Not so much anymore because of my current position, and I miss the heck out of it. I miss programming songs on radio stations because I was really good at it. But I know how this happens. So for the ways that I would judge something being a hit song, Mac Miller's never had one. So, and again, because I wasn't real angry when I was thinking about this on Friday night as people were blaming Ariana Grande for him overdosing and people blaming those blaming Ariana Grande to shut the fuck up. I'm like, whoa, hold on a second. And I just heard something today that he had admitted, he's like, I'm like everybody, I use drugs. And I think I also heard a report today that the place was cleaned up before the police were called and arrived. So whatever it is, it was. And she's not at fault for him going on a bender, but she very well might have been the catalyst for that bender. Just how, like, and this is where I kind of have to separate the mental health stuff and the personal responsibility. If you get laid off at your job, just the efficiencies, we're cutting back, and you lose your job, and you go on a bender, drink too much, and get into an accident and injure somebody, DUI, whatever. That's not your job's fault. And even if like they were aware of your mental health situation and you immediately got depressed and started to drink and that made things even worse, that's not their fault. Like, you got to exercise a little sense between your ears and go, wait a minute. So again, while Ariana was not to blame for someone else's behavior, them breaking up certainly could have been the catalyst for his increased drug usage. But again, so I looked it up. I was like, okay, he never had a top 40 single. Nope. I was like, okay, hold on. Let me check some hip-hop charts. And I just did Wikipedia stuff, which does a decent job of pulling together, you know, the big charts that we're all familiar with, the Billboards and stuff like that. Now, a couple of his singles went like gold, which is a nice accomplishment, and a couple of them went platinum. Maybe one did, which means they sold a lot of copies, or there were a lot of downloads. But, and again, I'm not throwing shade at the guy, because I know a lot of people who I trust their ears and music, and they really loved his work. I'm just surprised he never had a single hit. Not one. I'm like, wait a second, Eric, you said top 40. But there are other formats. Well, he wasn't on Hot AC or any other like adult format. What about Urban? He had hits at Urban Radio, right? Nope. Nothing. So he sold and got some downloads, but I am shocked he never had a hit song, radio or chart-wise, at all. Stunning to me. Now, I can, again, answer my own surprise there and go, well, you know the politics that get played on the back end of record labels and projects. Like sometimes the artist doesn't work well with the record label and they want to work one single and he wants to work another one and they can't agree. And he's like, fuck it, I'll do it myself. And then it never works out. A lot of these artists who are mega talented and get signed to big record labels like the Target, Walmart, or record labels, Columbia, RCA, those types, they get signed, but they butt heads with record label management and they wind up not having a hit song. For example, there are oftentimes where mega artists release dud first singles. It's usually after they've had an album or two. I think the last one that had, like, look at the last Katy Perry project. That was lots of artist influence. And I'm almost certain, I can't even tell you what the first single was. The whole album was garbage. But that's what she gave the label. And the label was probably like, this is a hot steaming pile of poop. We can't, this will be a career ender. And she was probably like, yeah, but it means a lot to me. And I think I did really great work. And you're Katy Perry, so you have to do, you know, what Katy Perry says. As opposed to a smaller artist where the label can go, fuck you. Go redo the album. If not, we're cutting you. And you heard those Katy Perry singles. They were all mostly trash. So, again, maybe it was politics that prevented Mac Miller from ever having a hot single, radio-wise. What else? Got to the Kaepernick stuff. Oh, so today, go to Vitamin Shoppe to get a couple of protein drinks, which I shouldn't be drinking. And my friend, Chris, is no longer there. In fact, a lot of people that I really enjoyed going in there to see, like Rodney and everybody else, are long gone. But Chris was the manager at the Vitamin Shoppe on Monroe Street where there's so much construction. And he left to go, I think, Chris, to do mental health stuff. He works with one of the mental health agencies. And I think he went to go pursue more education in that area. So good for Chris. He was always a good listener of the show, would always ask me about things when I would pop in there, his wife as well. So I hope Chris is doing well. But it's all new people in there now. Good people. One person. Girl. You should know me that, like, I don't like small talk. I like nice people, but small talk, I just can't do. Like, and I said this to her, because I was still kind of ragey, even after dropping off my poop, going to the gym, still hadn't let, you know, the anger subside. And she was talking about the prior customer to me about the weather. It was obviously a rainy weekend. And I could feel it coming. Oh my God, you know the weather. Nice, she is a nice girl, but again, this was me. This was me. I was in a dick mood. I was angry. She said, how was your weekend? I was like, wet. She's like, well, I think that was all of us. And I was like, you know what? I just don't do good with small talk. I like, you know, big philosophical questions. And this is 100% true. If you ever see me out somewhere and you want to talk and have a good conversation for, I think, both of us, don't bring up small-minded stuff. Like, bring up big ideas. That energizes me. That pulls out the extrovert in me. And I said this to her. She's like, okay. And I could see she was a little upset, but that's fine. But she reacted quickly. And she put that surprise or anger aside. She's like, so who, I don't know, recognize the character on your shirt. Who's that? I'm like, there we go. That's Trypticon. She's like, who's that? I'm like, he's a Transformer. She's like, how come I've never heard of him? I was like, well, he's never been included in any of the later iterations of the cartoons or the movies. She's like, he looks kind of cool. He's like a dinosaur and big. I was like, you know what? Next time I'm in here, I'm going to get you an answer as to why I think he's not been included in the Transformers movies or any of the cartoon shows. Because you know what? Dinosaurs are hot. Kids love dinosaurs. And he is a city-sized dinosaur. What's not cool about that? So, I think I made us both happy. I have a little project to take back to Vitamin Shop. And then she knows not to ask me about the weather anymore, how my weekend was. I think this is the last thing. Wow, it's been half an hour already? Jesus Christ. The Serena Williams thing is under my skin a little bit. I followed it fairly closely on Saturday night, and what troubles me is that she turned it into a gender thing. Now, look, by no means am I a tennis savant. I did watch a lot of tennis in the American golden age of tennis. Agassi and Sampras, some other guys. And it's been great to watch Federer and Nadal be so dominant. Two of the greatest players ever. Federer probably is the greatest player ever, men's-wise. And Serena is the greatest player on the planet right now. I mean, she would probably get beaten by a man, but when it comes to tennis, the first name that anybody should think of is, bang, Serena Williams. And she's arguably, I don't know the number of titles that she has compared to like Martina Navratilova or Chris Evert, who's chimed in on this, but she is, if not the greatest female tennis player ever, one of the top two or three, five at worst, and a great role model. I know she's coming back from, I guess, almost dying while giving birth to her child. But for her to turn this into a gender thing bothered me. And it was crystallized that I think I was right this morning. But if you don't know, to bring you up to speed on this as clearly as I possibly can, her coach tried to throw some advice her way, which you can't do at majors. I didn't know that. Because this is a rule that's broken all the time. It's like when it says 55, you're doing 60. It's like that. So she got a warning from the umpire, the guy that sits in the chair. Then she was upset. And by the way, she got beat in straight sets. So that might have also been at play as well. I don't know what the score was when she got the first warning, but when you're not playing well, you do stupid shit when you're angry and emotional. Come back to that. Then she wasn't playing well, smashed her racket. Well, I know that that's a penalty of some kind. So that was strike two. And then I think she went and said something to the umpire, and she called him a thief, and she lost the game. And that was the end. That was it. The whole thing went explosive. And then afterwards in the press conference, she's like, I'm here, you know, fighting for women's rights, and there's this guy. And apparently, I don't know, but there is some kind of inequality between men's and women's tennis. I can't speak to that. Apparently, there is there's a men's tennis player who's quite emotional, and he's broken lots of rules, and he doesn't get called for it by the umpires. It's very subjective, and we don't have the time to dig into the details of all of these stories that we have opinions on, because as I've thought quite often lately, we find things to be upset at or to have an opinion on when years ago we might not, but we've got to justify our social media accounts. That's right. That guy with 17 followers or even 17,000 followers, that person needs to give an opinion because they believe their followers expect it. And we've fallen into that fucking awful rabbit hole where everybody has to have an opinion about something and you have nominal knowledge of it. But with the Serena thing and bringing gender into play, I heard something today when I was listening to ESPN And her coach said that, yeah, I was coaching her. I know I'm not allowed to do that. But again, it's like speeding. It's like doing 60 in a 55. It's not doing 45 in a school zone. It's like doing 60 in a 55. It's like all the rules in baseball that aren't enforced. It's like all the rules in other sports that are loosely enforced unless it's egregious. He said, Serena's coach said, Osaka's coach was doing it as well. I'm like, there it is. That's why I feel more confident saying this is not a gender issue. You know what this is to me? Oh, by the way, if you didn't know, Serena was playing a girl. So if this is such a gender issue, why didn't she get nabbed? So from my perspective, and maybe I'm dead wrong, I am always up for open, intelligent, informed dialogue. Much like in baseball and in basketball, where some officials and referees choose to put the focus on them. And it, sometimes it's kind of cute. It kind of fits the old romance of the game, especially in a boring game. But there is the old line, we don't pay money to see the umpires and the officials and the referees. Absolutely true. Sometimes they get a little penalty happy. I get it. And they, for some reason, they think they can be the center of attention. The best officials are the ones you don't notice. It's a great line, and I heard it many years ago, and it remains true these days. This official seemed to have a bone to pick with Serena. And one thing that I haven't read or heard today was any of his history with Serena. Maybe he has a Serena dartboard poster in his apartment. I don't know. But to me, this seemed like a Serena thing. And that's where I can defend her. There was something 30 years ago called the Jordan Rules, when Michael Jordan's emergence as the best player maybe ever began to happen. He began to get certain foul calls and not get certain calls against him because he was the best. It happens. It happened a lot with Shaquille O'Neal. It happens a lot now with LeBron James. And the fact that these people are human beings, and as much as there are hard and fast rule books in anything in life, we are people. We are very subjective. We are not as objective as we like to give ourselves credit for. And especially in sports, these things are happening so fast, so things can get missed. And then you go back to the replay and you're like, how did he miss that? Well, you saw it at like 78 bazillion frames a second, and he saw it in real time. So I don't think this is a gender thing so much as this was an official at the U.S. Open in the final who was feeling himself, and for some reason, which we'll probably never find out because there's not a lot of public accountability for officials in any sport, a little bit in the NBA, there's something called the two-minute report where the league reviews the last 2 minutes of calls and goes right, wrong, right, wrong, right, wrong, as opposed to what happened, and so that we can get the facts right. So the NBA has some level of public accountability for their officials, not anybody else. I want to know why this dude had it out for Serena Williams. She, of all players in tennis, should be given the widest latitude for emotional outbursts or maybe slightly breaking a rule like getting coaching from... Now, look, maybe there is a wider issue, and I do think now that the women are paid in majors and in other tournaments they win as much as men. I'm not sure. I know this is a thing with women's soccer as well, the U.S. women's soccer team, which is much better than the Americans' men's soccer team. And I go back to who brings in the most money? Who brings in the most money? Pay those people the most. If women's tennis and Serena Williams brings in far more money to the game than the men's tennis side does, okay, well then pay the women more. But wait a second. Isn't it men making a lot of money-making decisions? Yes. Let me bring up another point here quickly. Apparently, there was some kind of... What was the movie that Jennifer Lawrence was in April or so? And it's like, hey, that looks like a Black Widow movie that Scarlett Johansson should be doing. And it might have been good, but it was a dud. Didn't make any money. Jennifer Garner was in that kind of movie. I saw one trailer. I was like, oh, that looks interesting. Oh, it's in theaters. I didn't know. I guess it finished third behind The Nun, Crazy Rich Asians this weekend, and I don't know how much it made. It probably made not much. And you go, well, see, nobody wants to see female stars. Well, then I ask, how much like the Mac Miller situation, why didn't somebody choose to promote that more? Is there legitimate research that says people are not big fans, people won't pay money to go to the movies to see Jennifer Garner? Or did somebody go, you know what, not a big fan of Jennifer Garner, I'm going to do a solid for Ben Affleck. I'm not going to greenlight heavy promotion for this. So there's always something underlying, and I'll use the word that I hate. I heard it today on a fucking podcast. I almost lost my shit. Again, while I was angry this morning. There's a lot more to unpack in a story than just the surface level stuff. So with the Serena Williams thing, I can't call it a gender thing, even though there may be gender issues in tennis. I think that isolated situation was that official wanting to be the star of the night when it should have been Serena and Osakis. One final thing here. Serena did herself no favors. And again, I don't know when this all started, but she got whooped pretty bad. Hey, it happens. This girl is an up-and-coming rising star who the night before or in her previous match said, I'm just happy to be playing Serena Williams. Like, Serena's biggest fan. And it was great to hear her enthusiasm and her ebullient nature to play her idol. Serena got emotional. She lost her temper. She got angry. I don't know the sports science of this. I think there are probably some people, if you're the Hulk, you perform better at what you do when you're angry. But I would guess that most people don't, because it causes you to lose such focus. And when you're angry and emotional, you make shitty decisions like Serena did. And she could have curbed that. So I'll say this to wrap up that. I got to stop myself from saying it. I've got, and you know what? It's funny. Eric, you just said, don't do stuff like when you're emotional. Like make fake Facebook posts like I did. Yeah, but back to what we started with. The stakes of the U.S. Open are a little bit higher than me posting on Facebook. So I think the ump was in the wrong. The official was in the wrong. For some reason, he felt he needed to be the star of the night. And this is not a gender issue. He had a bone to pick with Serena for some ungodly reason. But Serena was also wrong as well. In many ways, like to go back where I said, the Pittsburgh Steelers are right for not paying their running back. Their running back is right as hell for sitting out, not wanting to injure himself. It's possible. Two people can be on completely opposite sides of things and still be right. In the case with the official and Serena, two people can be on totally opposite sides and be very, very wrong. He was wrong to over-enforce the rules in the U.S. Open final, which he has discretion to do, and she was wrong to lose her temper. And again, huge shout out to Painters. You guys work your asses off.
This has been a Cumulus Media and Q105 collaboration. Three unicorns were harmed and lost their rainbows and horns in the production process. We use cookies for various purposes, like eating and flavor for protein shakes. And you have agreed to this and all other secret policies by enjoying the preceding audio content, which we highly encourage you to hashtag subscribe and share. You can click here for all other legal crap. And now hit skip intro to go to the next podcast. Just kidding. It's the See More Episodes option in your app. Q105.